Okay.
Thank you. My question
move
for
on.
Wait a minute. I have, please, oh. Mike, I have one more question.
I'm trying to turn this into this bitter, ugly thing.
I'm not trying to turn this into a bitter, ugly thing. I want to understand what's going on. My question, and I apologize if that's what it turns sounds like.
Oh, I'm teasing him.
Oh, okay. Dave, when you say that the CFO does not have enough ED authority and the ED does not have enough budgeting authority, why do you think that Nicole Sawaya will be able to make these decisions quickly herself?
That's also interesting. That's sort of a political discussion, but I think it's ultimately because I think what we're going to get from her is a plan of priority that she's bring to us, and I think the board is basically to instruct CFO to, you know, find funding compatible with it. We've been dealing at a national level with the question of what is the division of authorities between the CFO and the ED, and that's have to continue. The board sort of recognized the going issue. We haven't had the opportunity to deal with it, but we recognize it is an issue and we are going to deal with it. I agree with, I don't think a motion from this committee, I mean, they can say go to this committee and have this committee to decide, but to me that's insane. I mean, we are volunteers. We meet once a month. We can't possibly keep track of it, and effectively what we're going to be doing is, you know, not exactly rubber stamping, but listening to what staff tell us and say, yeah, that sounds good, and that's about what we're able to do. We might say, no, we think two is more important than three, but so that to me is just a runaround. You know, it's good that we would be making such recommendations, but ultimately the system has to work where the staff and the management, the national management, are working out plans that work. And we shouldn't be like stepping in and saying, well, okay, we shouldn't be solving spats about differences of opinion, because it's still the case that, you know, Pete has and John have one set of things they need to get done, and the ED and the CFO have another set. And I don't see particularly much evidence that a board mandate, and like Pete says, you know, they can wear out. I mean, the board wears out, and then the mandate sort of have this tendency to lose potency. So unless what we do is we say, hey, look, your basic system for making decisions is screwed up, and that basic system has to change, and we need to see from you, for example, a greater level of detail in the budget plan. So you say, here's what's going on. Here's the staff report. Here's what the ED has said about the staff report. This is what's going to get prioritized. This is where we're going to spend the money. And then we check back and see, did that happen or not? And if it didn't happen, then the people who were supposed to make it happen are accountable for it. And that's not happening anywhere in the system. So I think when Nicole comes in, she's going to try and deal with that stuff at a structural level. And I think one of the things governance is going to have to do is be supportive and actually empower somebody to act.
Okay. Anyone else before John goes on?
This is Vajra. I'm going to say goodnight.
Goodnight, Vajra.
Okay.
Vajra.
Bye-bye.
Vajra.
Actually, I have to step off the call for about 10 minutes. I'll be back.
I wanted to let, as staff, I wanted to let WBA staff know something's in place, but it's too late.
All right. John, are you finished?
Okay,
with your
just in closing, I think that Nicole will probably be more aware of the type of problems because she's managed radio stations. On our committee, we have Rip Robbins, who manages a radio station, so he kind of can see this, I think, a lot clearer than somebody that has not managed a radio station, you know, maybe managed a newspaper but not a radio station. So I'm hoping that she will be able to move things forward in this regard.
Michael, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Andrea.
Dave, I'm sorry, I have to ask you. Hello?
Dave stepped off the call for a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, then I would like to speak to him when he comes back.
Okay.
And we can go on.
All right, Pete, why don't you pick up with your report?
All right. Well, I'm going to say I have to cut this short because I need to step out soon as well. I've not been getting much sleep and putting in long hours these days, so I'm going to give a very quick report. Everything, you know, I mean, you've heard a lot from me this past year. My reports say a lot. My written report to the PMB that just came out a few weeks ago, so that's why I'll keep it short. We're working with Casey Peters, set up, as you folks I'm sure know, a special site at Pacifica Foundation for the elections, the Pacifica elections. And in the last few days, have set up a whole new part of the site that's not entirely finished for all the stations, but it's finished for two of the stations at least. Is that I'm working with Casey, we decided to set up blogs for every candidate. So every listener and staff candidate will have and does have the ability to log in through Pacifica Foundation. Even the canines are really exciting, I agree. So that this gives everyone the ability that's running to have their own interactive forum online. I say forum, I mean a blog in this case, to communicate with their constituents. Their constituents can, visitors can log in and comment and thus interact with the candidates and create kind of dialogue around issues, hopefully. This is the first time we're doing it, so we'll see how it goes. Essentially, at the end of the day, there will be 120 some odd blogs inside of Pacifica Foundation / elections. One of the cool things is that it has a commenting system, which is great. Everyone has their own main page, unique blog site, and in this case, it has. I set up search engine friendly URLs, which in English means that the URLs, the web addresses, are going to be English. They're not going to be pacificafoundation.org/election/5/6/index.php? etc. The URLs are simple. It's the pacificafoundation.org/elections/candidate name/, for example, Lisa Dash Davis, who's on this committee and is running at WBAI. So every candidate has a simple URL where they can, like I said, for the next couple of months, let people know what they're doing. For the default entry, the first entry for every candidate is one I'm entering, their candidate statement. So every candidate will have at least one entry in their blog. The candidate statement that they submitted that's been mailed out now. So let's see how it goes. Hopefully,
cool.
A lot of time has been put into this, and hopefully,
wow,
being used. It will be used anyway.
Oh, gee, thank you. I really can appreciate what you're saying, Mary Bergie. Thank you so much. That's fantastic.
Can I have a Michael?
Andrea, here. Yep.
Thanks, Pete. How is this being publicized to the candidates in the world?
Well, like I said, it's not. Unfortunately, I didn't get the. As Casey and other supervisors will tell you from the past, 99% of these statements come in at the last day, last few hours.
That's so true.
And so I didn't get the candidate statements till after the business day, Friday. Yeah, so I got it. I did some preliminary work. Actually, I wasn't able to. I also needed a piece of software to get this in place. Since we mentioned budgets, I'll say it was $30, and I don't have a credit card. I didn't have a debit card, and honestly couldn't even put that on my account because I hadn't gotten paid yet. So the reality is I had to wait until Casey purchased the software for me and got me the candidate statements. All of this didn't happen until Sunday night. So I stayed up all night Sunday night till Monday morning around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, actually. And then last night I only slept a few hours. That's why I've slept 5 hours in the last two nights.
Oh, no.
So I'm doing the best I can, but I got all the stuff basically late, and I've done KPFT staff candidates, KPFT listener candidates, WBAI staff candidates, WBAI listener candidates. The PFW staff and listener candidates haven't even submitted their stuff. They won't. Casey won't send them to me till next week. I think he's going to get them. So the remaining stations are K and A, and I'm almost finished with KPFK staff candidates. I'll be finished in the next 15, 20 minutes when I get off the call. And I may stay up tonight and try to finish them, or I may get a normal night's sleep and finish them tomorrow. But basically, the answer is it's not quite done, so I haven't yet formally publicized it. This is the first time I'm telling anybody except for Casey, who knows. And people that have gone to the election site can see it. If you go to the election site, you'll see a new link at the very top that says the candidates. And from there, you can get through the various stations and listener or staff. But in the next few days, when I finish all the statements, I think I'm going to wait for PFW as well. When I get the PFW statements, I'm going to send out an announcement through Casey, through the supervisors, local supervisors, to let the candidates know that it's there, and at the same time, or maybe before that, let the public know as well. So it's kind of a work in progress, but it's public enough that you can see it, and you can go and... I'm waiting to finish every section. Like, I have 99% of the KPFK staff candidates done, but I'm not publishing them till I have all of the candidates done so that I don't give an unfair advantage to any one of the candidates.
Right,
you know? But and so that way it's kind of, I'm staggering it. And the KPFK listener candidates, there's, I think, 40-something. So it'll be till tomorrow until I can get them all done and publicized. So it's a staggered kind of long process. Like my answer, pardon me.
Well, you're tired, and it wasn't so long.
I'm really tired. My brain is just mush right now. So,
but this is on KPFA Pacifica. I mean, I'm sorry, Pacifica Foundation.
PacificaFoundation.org/election.
Heroic. Thank you.
I'm looking at it right now in a minute.
Anything else?
That's all I have to say. I mean, I've said a lot this past year, so thanks to the committee for giving me a forum, I guess. Thank you.
Okay, I want to give a report about the motions we sent to Berkeley for the in-person meeting. And who else is on the call? Rob, you were there, right? So maybe you can help me with clarity. Who else is a PNB member here?
I am.
Mary, okay. The two motions we sent up had to do with streaming the board meetings, the budget for that, as well as the technology budget in general. So if I recall correctly, there was a vote on our motion regarding the budget, and it was turned down.
It was referred to finance, I believe. I'll check.
Like I remember a vote being something like four for the motion, I don't know, 9 or 10 or something again. But it was defeated, the one about the budget. And
was
I think
much discussion? I'm sorry, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was there much discussion? Can you tell us the tenor or the sense of the body?
I'd like to have the other members address that.
Rip Robbins here.
Oh, Rip. Yeah, I'm sorry, Rip. Rip is on the PNB as well.
Thanks.
Yeah, actually, it came up, I saw it under the discussion of the National Office budget and as well, but it kind of gets blurred together. But the thing is, we've spent about an hour talking about the Technology Committee motions and the Affiliate Task Force motions. So there was a lot of discussion, and the tenor of that was that people felt like committees were bringing things forward and that they should be going through. And after much discussion over the content and merit of the matter, there was still the technical process that some members spoke to toward the end, saying that, well, if it was a motion that hadn't been properly taken through the channels, meaning the Finance Committee, because it has a financial impact, evidently, just by its very nature, I suppose, then we shouldn't be voting it at the board meeting, that it needs to go through Finance Committee. And then kind of at the end of the hour, it was over, and no one wanted to actually pass that. But that part I don't recall, and Michael's recall of that is probably what happened. There may have been a vote at the end. I don't remember that part.
Yeah, there was a vote at the end.
Thank you.
Yeah, it had to do with the competitive salary, hiring of a part-time system administrator, and
it was postponed until 12:14, and the vote was 9 yes, 5 no. Thomas Ruffin made that motion.
Nine yes for postponing?
Yes, correct.
Oh, I see.
Thanks.
That's what I'm looking at.
Was this separate from the national budget, which was they put off consideration of passing the budget, or is this?
We had I can't remember the particulars, but we did have a fair debate. Dave gave the technology committee motion a full opportunity to present the issue and its politics. And I believe Rip is right that basically people supported the tenor of what we were saying, and people were saying, let's get them some support there on technology by way of money, but people were saying we can't spend money that we don't have. And I think that's what happened in my interpretation. And I think there is a vote that did more than postpone it. I think it was sent to the Finance Committee to figure it out, and the Finance Committee and the PNB has yet to pass the national office budget.
Right.
Well, it's approved on a continuing basis, but there's, yeah.
And the streaming thing, the funding for the streaming wasn't approved just by virtue that there was no budget approved for the national office. But there, if I understand correctly, and I'm just going to say this once and let it be, if I understand correctly, there is money in the budget to pay for somebody to help John stream.
That's my understanding as well.
You mean it already was in the budget and we didn't know it?
Well, it's not been approved yet anyway.
Oh, I see.
But yes, there's an item, there's a line item in the budget for that.
Thank you.
Expenditure, I do believe.
Yep. I
got that from LeVar.
I agree with that. I think that's correct.
So that's the report from Berkeley. Does anyone else have business?
Is Dave not coming back on the call?
I don't know.
I haven't heard him. He said he was coming back in 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to say, Michael, I don't know how to... Michael, may I speak?
Yes, go ahead, Andrea.
We're talking about...
The new business part of the agenda.
Well, I'm disturbed by what Dave said, and I'm not sure I understand it completely. Which is why I wanted to ask him a question. But I think his statements raise a lot of issues for me, if not for the network, really. I sensed a sort of a philosophical issue when Bill was raising his questions about the local stations and the inventory. And I think there is a... I do have questions about the digital distribution, which I haven't been able to write out very well, and which is why I haven't. But one of them is, if the digital distribution does lead us to becoming a network as opposed to a coalition of stations, I think that has great impact on our ability to function according to the Pacifica mission, which I think is the mandate of this committee to oversee. And I think it does in many ways, but one way is, in fact, just what may be happening without anybody's input on a local level or on a listener level, let's say, on the level of the people, that the whole function of the network will be
reconstructed to become a network initiative in which the decisions are really by virtue of the digital distribution itself and the necessities and the requirements of it become in the hands of decisions will be made rather by people not by the public but by people in positions of authority and power and technical control of the network. I don't think this is a good idea. I think not that these decisions couldn't be made well by any of them, but it doesn't necessarily represent the feelings of the public or have a good connection to the public or a mechanism of connection to the public. And I'm very concerned about that. And I could detail this more, but just as a general idea right away, I find this very alarming. I think it does not bode well for the public discussion. I know that we have a lot of financial problems. I know also that we have to recognize the technological change in the media. But in terms of preserving the public discussion, which is another way I look at the Pacifica mission, I'm not sure we'll be able to preserve or maintain it or that we're even trying to. We're not just an archive of programs that happened yesterday. We are an entity which allows an ongoing discussion and participation with the public, and I'm not just talking about live phone calls. I'm talking about real-time participation in listening, even, and the awareness that it's going on right now. And I really am very disturbed, and I think, and I apologize to the committee because I've been thinking about these things for a long time and I haven't been able to figure out a way to articulate them, but I really wish that we could, and I will try to my best to make this a discussion among us because I think it's a discussion we should have.
Okay, thank you.
Rip Robbins here.
Hi, Rip.
I really hear that. At our station, we spend a lot of time thinking about how we're going to gain listeners in our area and what makes us, why would anyone turn to our channel instead of the 100 other channels that they can turn to, and they certainly have another 10, maybe only 8 other news and information channels. I mean, there's lots of music channels out there, so music is kind of a, you know, it's just an extra from my perspective. You're competing with everybody out there for music. But for talk and news and information, we think local is the way to go. In the future, everyone has access to all this other stuff. What are they going to listen to us for? We have to be local or else we're not relevant. But, you know, KSVR is a member of two networks. While, you know, we're a local station and we belong to the Pacifica Network, I think the last count was like 27 hours a week. Now, you know, a lot of that is Democracy Now!, which is twice on our station, and Free Speech Radio News, but that's still another maybe 7 or 8 hours of Pacifica programs that we take. Sprouts from the Vault an hour, Law and Disorder from New York. So we feel like we're part of that network that we don't have resources for, and we're part of the Radio Bilingue Network, which brings Spanish language programming from California, and it has a news service, and we feel that our underserved audience is really benefiting from our being able to bring that in, and they do a lot of station IDs all night long, and sometimes people think we're called Radio Bilingue because they get confused because it's a network, and we're part of that network, and all morning we have local programming in Spanish to set ourselves apart. So I know you're thinking that there's a slippery slope, but really what I think the power of the future of Pacifica is its ability to harness the stations. Instead of disparate centers of metropolitan areas kind of scattered around, to really actually share, and I don't think it's an all or nothing kind of thing. I think you retain a lot of, and maybe in policy the way to look at it, Andrea, is to push for some kind of a number. A certain percentage of programming has to be local because we're a local station, you know. I mean, more than 50%, 80%. And I know people won't want to quantify because they'll think, well, we have to adapt. And so I don't know what the answer is exactly. That's something you should struggle. But I think you really do see there would be a value in opening up airtime, a little more airtime, for the network aspects of things that can happen right now that are important to people as they're happening, the immediacy of the media now, to bring that stuff out. And Pacifica's in a position to capitalize on this kind of thing. It's unique in that it is a network of five stations all around the centers of the country. And I think there's real potential. As an affiliate, I'd love to get some of that stuff. I can't always do the live specials. But anyway, now I'm off topic. I just wanted to say that while I hear what you're saying, I don't think it's an all or nothing deal here with this digital distribution.
Mary Berg, can I?
Hi, Mary.
I hear what you're saying, but I also hear you have a station to do your local stuff, and you mentioned a local need, but I hear you sort of saying, well, we have five network stations. We have the same needs to do the local programming and the same mandate that you do, and we have, furthermore, the mandate of our statements, our articles of incorporation that say that we need to do this. So there is definitely a tension that exists and a contradiction that we have to find the bridge for. But simply having more and more hours for national programming isn't the answer. It isn't that simple. And since you don't have to give up any of your local programming, you want to have the national, but you're not doing it at the expense of your local, but you're asking the stations to. There's a bit of that. And I just want to point that out. I don't want to get off on that discussion. That's a long discussion that the whole network
Mary, I thought I said that we air 27 hours a week of Pacifica programming.
Yeah,
telling me that I'm not airing Pacifica programming. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm not. I didn't say that.
You just said I want you to your station to play national programming. But
I didn't say that. That's not what
exactly
I said.
Exactly the opposite of what I said.
That's not what I said. I said you have your own mandate to do local programming, and you don't have to give that up. But I think there is a big discussion that needs to be had, is all I'm saying. Simply to have more national programming on the part of Pacifica does not solve Pacifica's problem. It might be good for you, but it wouldn't necessarily serve the mission or the mandates or the purposes or the needs of Pacifica's people. It's not that simple. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to get into the discussion now. I just say that it's a very big topic, and it needs discussion, and it needs a lot of people to be on the same page and to air out some of the problems and get past personal differences to see where we go with it.
Especially as it may relate to technology.
Mm-hmm. Yes, precisely, because that's where we might have a way of getting around the problem, is through technology.
And Mr. Chair,
that's the only hope I see.
Mm-hmm. I want to apologize for interrupting the member. I'm sorry, Mary.
I agree with you. To me, that I was going to be saying that, so that's fine. You said it faster, so that's fine with me.
Well, Rev, as the chair, I would order you to buy her a gin and tonic.
I will take it. Okay. I accept the chair's ruling. Ruling is correct. Whoever made the ruling, I would like it.
I get half of that drink, too. All right. Okay, is there anything else? Maybe we can knock off for the night.
Well, this is Bill.
Okay, Bill.
Just kind of a quick comment along the same lines, or sort of thing, but I really think we need to be thinking how to help our local stations promote digital distribution. Everybody's, wrapped up on broadcasting to our local audience in real time and all that, but I still think, looking a few years ahead, we may have more people listening to us, even if we don't change our programming, whether it's local or network, we may have more people listening to us via the Internet or downloading programs, even if they're local, so they can listen to them at their convenience and other time. And most people just aren't thinking about that. I don't think at least at KPFT. It keeps us from being limited to our own geographical area too. People, call in sometimes even now during our call-in shows from other states or even other countries. I mean, not very many of them, but some people are listening via the streams and call in. And I think a lot more people might if we could publicize what we have a little better. We have great stuff on the air, and a lot of people don't know about it.
There you go.
So I guess we just need to be thinking about talking it up among our local station people and see how we can promote this better.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. I could entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will move to adjourn at, 10:13 p.m. Eastern Time.
It's pretty good. Nice meeting. Thank you all very much. And the next meeting, I guess, will be the third Wednesday again
Sounds good.
November.
Is Pete still on the call?
Thank you.
I am.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Pete,
thank
the
you.
Website looks really, really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's
thank
great.
You, thank you. I just finished KPFK's
Oh, cool.
Staff, so that's live, too.
Okay. All right. I'll go
before
take a look.
Before everybody signs off.